Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله أضعاف ما حمده جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد ما في علم الله صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم. ربنا زدنا علما. اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها أما بعد. Today the topic is about egoism, a person's ego, thinking about himself. Egoism and its remedy. There are three wards in the terminology of tasawwuf and tariqa. One is ujub, which is known as vanity, egoism, kibr, which is pride, and takabbur, arrogance. In common parlance, they are interchangeable as synonyms, but there is a delicate difference in their meanings. They seem to basically mean the same thing, but there's a delicate difference in their meanings. The definition of ujub, which we call vanity, the first thing that grows in man is ujub. That's the first thing that grows in man. Ujub, vanity, egoism, and its extreme form is called takabbur, arrogance. Ujub, egoism, is that a man looks at himself and imagines that he is better than the others. He's a vain person. That's the first stage. That's the first thing that grows in man. He looks at himself, and this is what his egoism all about. He looks at himself and imagines that he is better than the others. And he does not esteem the blessings of Allah in this regard. He doesn't pay no attention to Allah's gifts and Allah's blessings in this regard. For instance, a scholar, an alim, realizes that he is a scholar, an alim, and imagines that he is better than other. So he looks at other people and he thinks himself better than them without recognizing Allah's blessings in this regard. Had he recognized Allah's blessings, he would have said, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me ilm, mashallah, and that has taken me a stage, and he has bestowed a great favor upon me. But he doesn't look at Allah's blessings in this regard. He may or may not belittle others. That's the first stage. So he may or may not belittle others, but there is egoism in him. Ujub admits both possibilities. When a person has ujub, it admits both possibilities. He may or he may not belittle others. Thus, thinking of anyone's good qualities without thinking of them as Allah's blessings is ujub, which we call a vain person, vanity and egoism. And he thinks of his good qualities, he sees them, he watches them without thinking of them as Allah's blessings. It allows for distinction of one over somebody merely recognizing oneself. It allows for distinction of oneself. This is it. Distinction of oneself. Merely recognizing oneself. And that's the first stage. He just recognizes himself, and he may or he may not belittle others. Now let's look at the difference in ujub, vanity, egoism, kibr, pride, and takabbur, arrogance. So the first stage, the first thing that grows in man is ujub. And then this ujub, this vanity, this egoism, it then breeds kibr, it then breeds pride. A man sees a good quality in himself and tells himself, I am great. This is kibr. This is pride now. He sees a good quality in himself and tells himself, I am great. This is kibr and this is pride. The former eyes one's good quality, and the latter one's greatness. When a person is in the first stage of ujub, he eyes his good qualities. He sees himself. He sees his distinction without recognizing the favor of Allah. And in kibr or pride, what he sees now? What does he see? What does he eye? He eyes his greatness now. And he thinks, I am great. I am great. To think of oneself as greater than others is kibr and pride. Then to demonstrate one's greatness now over others is what is called takabbur or arrogance. So first a man grows, what he grows within himself is ujub, vanity. He sees his own qualities, his distinction. Then he eyes his greatness, which is now called kibr and pride. And he thinks of himself as better and greater than others. That's kibr. And then the third stage now, to demonstrate, to show one's greatness over others. This is now called takabbur and arrogance. Thus, he may show it by demeaning other people, belittling them and demeaning them, and he treats them as base. He is now a mutakabbir, an arrogant person, again, he may show it by demeaning and belittling other people and treats them as base and low. He is now arrogant, and this is called takabbur. But still there's a fourth stage. The fourth kind is istikbar. Istikbar, from the same root kibr. The Quran calls the next stage as istikbar, which is like stiff-necked. Such people are stiff-necked people. Very haughty, arrogant, stiff-necked. An arrogant man who is a mutakabbir degrades others. He's a mutakabbir. What does he do? He thinks himself to be better and greater than others, and he belittles them, he demeans them, he degrades others. And then he goes a step ahead by ignoring them now. He becomes stiff-necked like a snob. Watch people like a snob. Treat them with a snobbish attitude. So he goes a step ahead by ignoring them. Sometimes his decisions border on oppression and wrongdoing. Dhulm, tyranny. Sometimes his decisions border on oppression, dhulm, and tyranny, wrongdoing. This is called istikbar. And the Quran has used this word for Fir'aun, for Pharaoh of Egypt. He was mustakbir. That he was stiff-necked. Of course, he had ujub, he had kibr, he had takabbur, but then he went a step ahead by ignoring people, and sometimes decisions would include oppression and wrongdoing. This is called istikbar. Like Fir'aun, such a person obstinately rejects truth. Very stubbornly, obstinately, he rejects truth. May Allah protect all of us. Ameen. So let's talk about the cure now and the remedy. The remedy for ujub, vanity, egoism. As we have seen, ujub, egoism, is the first thing that grows in man. It gradually develops into pride, kibr, arrogance, takabbur, unto stiff-neckedness, or you might say stiff-necked haughtiness, and a person ignores others, belittles others, becomes a snob, watches them, and then he begins to do wrong upon them. Thus man should cure himself at the very first sign of ujub. Just as we are concerned about physical sicknesses, and with the first symptom or the first sign of some sickness, we want to rectify it and we take medicine for it. Similarly, man should cure himself at the very first sign of ujub, and which is vanity. The Honorable Maulana Thanawi alayhi rahma proposes its remedy. He says, a deed, an amal, has two sides. One, one's own good attributes, and man should not look at it from this angle. Any amal, it has two sides to it. One's own good attributes, and man should not look at it from this angle of his own good attributes. And the second side to that deed, Allah's blessings, from which angle man should be pleased with it. So a man does a good deed, he does something very nice. One side of it is to look at his capabilities and his abilities and see himself and his distinction. And the other one, which of course you shouldn't look at it from that angle, but you should look at it from the second angle, which is Allah's blessings, from which angle man should be pleased with it. Allah says in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا. Say to them, قل بفضل الله, in the bounty of Allah, وبرحمته, and in His mercy and rahmat, فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ, let them be happy and let them rejoice in that. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ. If man wants to be happy, mashallah, after doing something good has happened, good amal, then say, in the bounty of Allah, in the fadl of Allah, and in His rahmat and mercy, therein, in these things, the fadl of Allah and the rahmat of Allah, therein, let them therefore rejoice in these things, feel happy about that, and see it as Allah's blessings. Ilm, knowledge is Allah's grant. If anyone does something and takes credit for it and feels elated and happy that he has done a praiseworthy thing, but does not see Allah's hand in it, he doesn't see Allah's hand in it, then it is ujub, egoism, vanity, and it is a sin. He does a praiseworthy thing, he feels elated, but does not see Allah's hand in that, then that is ujub, and it is a sin. If he regards his performance as a blessing of Allah and feels delighted with it, then his attitude is praiseworthy because he sees Allah's hand in it. Then his attitude is praiseworthy and desired. The Holy Quran says about it, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ, in the bounty of Allah and His mercy, therein let them therefore rejoice. It is as though he realizes, I have done nothing worthy, but Allah the Exalted has granted me this thing through His grace, through His fadl and rahmat, through His grace and mercy. He rejoices then on Allah's blessing upon him and not seeing his own self and good qualities. He rejoices on Allah's blessing. Not only is his delight not egoism, but it is demanded a command, because the verse says, فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. If we look in this verse of the Quran, Allah says, yes, be happy. Be happy when you do something praiseworthy, something good. Be happy, be elated. But be elated because you recognize Allah's hand in it, in the fadl of Allah and the rahmat of Allah. In that should them rejoice. So this is not termed as ujub and egoism, but this is a command, because Allah tells us, فَلْيَفْرَحُوا, let them rejoice. Another thing is that delight and joy after a pious deed is a sign of faith. It is a sign of iman. When a person does something good and he feels good about it, is a sign of iman. The Prophet, the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira, said, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ, when your good deeds make you happy, when your good deeds please you, and make you happy. Wasa'atka sayyiatuka. And when your bad deeds make you feel bad, fa anta mu'min, then you are a mu'min, you are a believer. So therefore, delight and joy after a pious deed is a sign of faith. Again, the hadith, idha sarratka hasanatuka, when your hasana and your good deeds make you feel happy, wasa'atka sayyiatuka, and when your sayyi and your bad deed makes you feel bad, fa anta mu'min, you are a mu'min. Thus, if you are pleased after offering salah and you feel happy and you say, Ya Allah, I thank you that you enabled me to offer salat. Alhamdulillah. Not only is there no harm in that, but also it is a sign and an alamat of faith. In the same way, to rejoice after fasting or i'tikaf is desirable. Month of Ramadan has come to an end, i'tikaf has come to an end, people feel happy. This is desirable, it is good, it's a sign of faith. And there is no harm in that, as long as Allah is praised for the enablement. This is so important. As long as Allah is praised for the enablement. It is a prompt glad tidings. A Sahabi radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, when I do a good deed, I feel happy in my heart. Then I wonder if that is ujub, I wonder if that is egoism. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam comforted him saying, Dhalika ajilu bushral mu'min. That is a prompt glad tidings for the believer. Dhalika ajilu bushral mu'min. That is a prompt glad tidings for the mu'min and the believer. This is an unspot bounty from Allah for the believer to do a good deed and then feel happy in the heart. Dhalika ajilu bushral mu'min. It is an unspot bounty from Allah for the believer. It is neither egoism nor arrogance. You must not worry about it as long as you regard it as a blessing of Allah and you see Allah's hand in it. This is as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had said. They had said, For wallahi lawlallahu, if not for Allah, mahtadaina, we would not have been rightly guided, we would not have received hidayat, wala tasaddaqna, nor would we have given charity, wala sallayna, nor would we have performed salat. Subhanallah. The Sahaba used to say that. This is from the poetry of the Sahaba. I think it was Abdullah ibn Rawaha who composed these verses. So they recognize Allah's hand in everything and all the favors. And they would say, Lawlallahu, if not for Allah, mahtadayna, we would not have received guidance. Wala tasaddaqna, we would not have given charity. Wala sallayna, and we would not have performed salat. Hence, regard your good deeds as a blessing of Allah. And rejoice, yes, be happy for the ability to do it. But if anyone rejoices on doing them because he thinks that he is perfect and he does not acknowledge Allah's favor and Allah's hand in that and thinks of others as inferior, then this is disallowed by the Quran in the words, La tafrah, rejoice not. The desired and the disallowed delight. The verse cited above gives the command, فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. So this is the delight that is desired and is a command from Allah. This rejoicing is desired, and we are commanded to rejoice. There is another rejoicing that is disallowed. The former is to rejoice because of the enablement facilitated by Allah, while the latter is the rejoicing of one who feels proud of his deed or achievement and doesn't see Allah's hand in it. But there's a very delicate difference, and it's hard to tell which rejoicing it is. A sheikh can tell the difference. However, a person cannot by himself distinguish between the two kinds. It's kind of difficult for him to distinguish between the two kinds. He needs a sheikh, a spiritual physician, spiritual mentor, to guide him. We have seen that a companion, a sahabi, he had doubts when he performed a good deed. He doesn't know whether it is, if that is ujub, he had doubts whether he was rejoicing because of an ego, because of ujub, or Allah's favor. But the greatest sheikh of all times, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, comforted him that he had glad tidings from Allah. Thalika ajilu bushra al-mu'min. The idea of a sheikh today, a sheikh is needed for these reasons. But today, people look out for a sheikh to teach them incantation, certain incantations, and what they may recite, and to interpret their dreams. They ask him to teach them supplication and duas for different needs and times. All day, people come to him for this purpose. This is the story of a mentor and his disciples nowadays. You must know that these things are not concerned with this kind of relationship. Not with charms, ta'weez, talismans, supplications or incantations. There is no interpretation of dreams involved. And a sheikh had no role in such things. The question to ask is whether the rejoicing on doing a deed is approved or not. These are the things that one must find out. Thereafter, the sheikh's advice must be followed. Actually, this is what the sheikh does. The traditional role of the sheikh and disciple is of this nature. But nowadays, these questions are not asked. Only incantations are sought. What is so important is to show gratitude on enablement. Show gratitude on enablement. The Mawlana, rahimahullah, says further, those who perform deeds should not consider their deeds as their feat and achievement, but they should regard it as Allah's favor and be grateful to Him, Allah, that He, Allah, got them to perform the deeds. For otherwise, they have no ability at all. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Wa ma tawfiqi illa billah. Why? Why do you brag and boast that you did this and you did that for the king? In this case, who is Allah? Accept His favor that He got you to do it. Why do you brag that you did this and that for the king? Accept His favor, Allah's favor, that He got you to do it. Know that whatever work you do, of whatever nature, like worship, ibadat, social service, teaching, dars tadris, sermonizing, khutbas, lectures, do not imagine it as your feat. This is not your feat, not your accomplishment. Rather, Recognize it as Allah's enablement to you. Allah's enablement to you. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Thank Him, Allah, for that. That's why our mashayikh have said that after every salat, the sunnah is to say, Allahu Akbar, declares greatness, and you say, Astaghfirullah, 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 3 times for any shortcomings that you may have performed and done in your salat. And they also, the mashayikh have also added that we should say, Alhamdulillah, that Allah got me to perform this salat. Know that so many people cannot achieve anything at all. When a man confesses that he has no aptitude, he doesn't have the aptitude and ability to do anything, he rids himself of pride and ego, and the ujub, vanity, and the kibr vanishes and goes away. When a man confesses that he has no aptitude and ability to do anything at all, he rids himself of pride and ego. Rather, recognize his favor for accepting you for service. That is Allah's favor, that he is taking some khidmat and some work for you. He has accepted you for his khidmat and service of the deen. You may perform many kinds of deeds, but he is Allah who induces you to do them. There are many who are simply not motivated to do anything at all. They're not motivated to do anything. Allah's motivated you. So then why are you proud? You are not outstanding. Indeed, this is the favor of Allah, the glorious, the majestic, that he made you do what you did. So thank him. Qul bi fadlillah wa bi rahmatihi fa bi dhalika falyafrahu. Thus, if you engage in worship, you offer salah, you keep fast, etc., do not brag over it. This is his favor, and he, Allah, enabled you to engage in worship, so thank him. Alhamdulillah. Gratefulness gets more inclination. So you know what? Do not belittle. Another thing is, do not belittle the worship you perform. Don't belittle that. And do not be ungrateful. Think, if he, Allah, had not inclined you to do that, what would you have been? If you think along these lines and thank Allah, then you will not be bothered by egoism, ujub, or kibr, pride, and takabbur, arrogance, or even istikbar, the last stage. In fact, for your gratefulness, Allah will enable you to do more good deeds. For your gratefulness, Allah will enable you to do more good deeds. Gratefulness is a mystic's deed. That is the deed and the amal of the friend of Allah. However, one has to practice for this. One has to practice. It takes practice. Whenever you are enabled to do a good deed, thank Allah. Develop this practice. Whenever you are enabled to do a good deed, thank Allah. The Honorable Mawlana, Rahmatullah Alayh, used to say that some deeds are mystic, very mystic and mystical. You know what? Gratefulness is among them. Shukr is among them. On face of it, it is not a great thing. Zahiran, it's not a great thing. You only say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. All praise belongs to Allah. And to you, O Allah, is our thanks. No one knows that you did something, yet your ranks have increased, though no one observed it. keep practicing. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, accustom your tongue. Accustom your tongue to it. That's the practice. Accustom your tongue to it. Suppose that the breeze strikes you. Say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Wa Allah, for you is all praise. And for you is our thanks. That's the method. That's the practice. Accustom your tongue and your heart to it. The breeze strikes you. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. If you enter your home and you are pleased at the sight of your child, exclaim, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Do the same at other occasions. Your heart should recognize every blessing of Allah and thank Him. If you do it again and again, you will get it naturally, so that even when you do something, your heart will be occupied in gratitude to Allah. Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayh, who was the Sheikh of Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, used to say, I have practiced this for years together. For years. I thank Allah every moment for His blessing now. The link is established. The link is established inside me with my Master, my Creator, my Sustainer. And no one knows of it. No one knows what goes on. Gratefulness cuts at the roots of baseness. Gratefulness is an antidote. It cuts at the roots of innumerable evils. This is the antidote. It cuts at the roots of innumerable evils, and it grows many, many virtues. Hence, make a habit of giving thanks. It is a deed of the mystics. It is a deed of the people of Allah. It is the deed of the awliyaullah. It does not call for great sacrifices and exercises. Simple. It is a simple, small task. Thank Allah for everything you do, from morning till evening, for the little things that you get. Thank Allah for that. For your wishes that are accomplished, even the most simple of them, thank Allah for that. People do not esteem it because they think that it is a little thing. It is a great antidote. Shukr is a great antidote. Try it. As you accustom yourself to it, you will learn that it will not let ego, ujub, vanity, grow in you. It will not let ego grow in you. Because once the ego starts to grow, ujub, then the kibr and the pride starts to grow. And then takabbur, arrogance, starts to grow. And then istikbar starts to grow. It will not let ego grow in you, not pride too. The devil, the shaitan too, knew. He also knew that one who gives thanks regularly, one who is grateful and gives thanks regularly, will not fall a prey to him. Even the devil knows that. That such people will not fall prey to him. This is why the shaitan said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And you will not find most of them grateful at all. Because once they have gratitude, I have the upper hand on them. But if they have gratitude, I don't have the upper hand on them. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And you will not find most of them grateful. May Allah show mercy and enable me and you to do this deed. Ameen. This one is about anger. So we spoke about ujub, egoism, kibr, pride, takabbur, arrogance, and istikbar, stiff-neckedness. Anger is the mother of all ills. For many years, I have been reading from Maulana Tanwi's book, Anfasi Isa, after the Zuhar Salat in Ramadan. The subject is base, despicable vices, and the present selection is on anger. Anger. This is one of the base and the low conducts of man. In fact, the Sufis term it as the mother of all ills. The Sufis call anger the mother of all ills. Anger is a malady, a sickness, a disease, and creates many other illnesses with it. Anger also causes innumerable sins, like when an angry person goes berserk and mad with rage and he abuses other people. He even uses hands and exchange blows. The ills. A man becomes angry at another because he thinks of himself as better and superior. That is why he becomes angry. If a man regards himself as humble, then he will never get angry on anyone when there is humility. Therefore, anger combines with egoism and pride, ujub and kibr, and sometimes hatred also accompanies anger. Sometimes hate also accompanies anger. You hate somebody, that brings about anger too. There are many unseen maladies and sicknesses that accompany anger. And they are unseen, but they accompany anger. Or they grow because of anger. Therefore, the Sufis made it a principle to rid their disciples of anger before anything else. Cut out the anger. Cut out the anger. Two innate qualities. Inborn to man are two qualities which are known as innate qualities. They are inborn to man. Two qualities. Anger and appetite. Anger and appetite. It's there within us. Either of the belly or of sex. These two qualities are root cause of all sin and disobedience. Anger and appetite. Anger and appetite. And when we say appetite, appetite either of the belly or of sex. This appetite and anger are the root cause of all sins and disobedience. This is why the Sufis first treat anger. For if man is not in control of his anger, he may commit many sins and fall into many pits of wrongdoing. Requests for brief advice. A Sahabi, a companion, submitted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Give me advice that is brief." He said, "Ill wa aujiz." Ill wa aujiz. Give me advice that is brief. Sahabi said to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not mind his words requesting counsel, but placing a condition that it should be brief. This shows that one should not be angry. If anyone requests for advice and asks that it should be brief, one shouldn't become angry because of this request. In fact, it is his right. And the Sahabi asked the Nabi like that. An advice, but let it be brief. So if somebody asks that same thing, we should respond like the Nabi and not get angry. It is his right. He may have short time on hand. If the sermonizer, the one who is given a khutbah, offers a lengthy khutbah, a lengthy discourse, and the listener has to go on a journey and is in a hurry, then his mind will be occupied elsewhere and not be receptive to what is being said. How then will he act on that? Hence, the sermonizer must have regard to the situation of the listener. In this hadith, the seeker himself pleaded that he had little time and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be brief. Il wa aujiz. Let it be short and concise. So what was the advice? Do not be angry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a short advice. He said, "La taghdhab. La taghdhab." Don't get angry. Do not be angry. This short advice shows that anger is the cause of many ills. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have given him other instructions like, "Do not lie. Do not backbite." Obviously, this is a serious ill and a cause of many sins. So he told him, "La taghdhab." It is also necessary. But sometimes it is necessary to scold. It doesn't mean sometimes you can't become angry with people and scold them. No. Sometimes it is necessary to scold. Because anger is an innate quality, inborn quality. Without anger, man may not survive. How can a man survive without anger? Suppose an enemy attacks you, or a wild beast targets you, and you do not show anger, but take it coolly, then you will be eliminated. The story of a boss. My respected father, Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, used to narrate a story of a boss. He held a high office and got everything done by his servant. He was not used to do anything at all. One morning, when he awoke, he found some monkeys prowling inside his house. One picked up his coat, another his pants, and yet another his hat, and escaped. We lay on his watching them, and he shouted, "Is there no man to stop them? Everybody watching, is there no man to stop them?" Meanwhile, one of his friends came to him and asked him, "Mister, but you two are a man. You two are a man." He said, "Right. You reminded me well. He got up quickly and chased the monkeys who had escaped towards the jungle. This is the mode of his action. He lay on the bed, unable to defend himself. This conduct was contrary to human nature, which demands that when he is attacked, he must defend himself and show anger to the enemy, and don't just be cool, because anger is very important. Being angry is also ibadat and worship. Thus, anger is not always wrong. Rather, it is correct sometimes. In fact, it is worship, ibadat. For instance, if anyone speaks ill and say bad things of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then a Muslim must be angry at him. For otherwise, nothing is more shameful than not being angry. To show anger at this time, when somebody bad talks the Prophet, ma'adhallah, to become angry at this time is worship. Therefore, often it is good, in fact, better to display anger. It is wajib also, like in these situations, wajib. Often also it is bad to be angry, rather it is sinful on other occasions. We must know the difference. The beginner, however, when a person is a beginner in this path of tasawwuf and tariqah, the beginner must not be angry. However, when a person pledges as a disciple to a sheikh, the latter instruct him, the sheikh will instruct him in the beginning not to be angry at all, because he's a beginner. This is because he will not be able to distinguish when he should be angry and when he should not. So initially, he must not show anger under any circumstances. This is called mujahada, endeavor, effort. It means that in order to keep away from an unpleasant thing, he must abandon a pleasant thing too, by way of a barrier wrong. This is Mujahada. Maulana Yaqub Nanotwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, explained Mujahada with an example. Maulana Yaqub said, fold a piece of paper from one side, then try to straighten it. It will never be straight and flat unless it is first folded on the opposite side. It will then become flat. And this is the way. Fold oneself on the other side. In the same way, ourself, our nafs, has tucked in on the side of sins like a folded paper. Our nafs has become tucked on the side of sins. If we try to put it back straight, it will never be straight and smooth. Hence, fold it on the opposite side. Fold it on the other side by compelling it to abandon even some of the permitted deeds. When the deeds of this nature, which are condoned normally, are given up, the soul, the nafs, will return to normal piety. This is called mujahada. This is why the Sufis instruct the fresh disciples to abandon anger in the beginning, all anger, just abandon it. Gradually, they will have control over it, and soon they will be able to use it on the correct occasion. It is about this that the Maulana has given some instructions, which I explain briefly. First, think of your shortcomings. The Maulana said that the first remedy for anger is muster yourself firmly and think of your shortcomings and your faults. Inshallah, the rage will come down. When you think about your own shortcomings, the rage will come down. Someone wrote to the Maulana that he was short-tempered and got infuriated on petty small things. This drew the foregoing response because there is an aspect of egoism in anger. Yes, an aspect of egoism in anger, whereby the angry supposes he is superior and the other inferior, so he gets the rage. The Maulana prescribed that when a person finds anger rising in him, he should suppress it and gather himself to remember his own shortcomings and counter the rage itself as a shortcoming. That rage he has, think of it as a shortcoming. If he was perfect, he would not get the anger. In this way, he will cool down. However, this requires thinking. If a man will not think and ponder over the words he has uttered, then there is no cure for him. This being the first medicine, the rest of the treatment will be smooth. He has to think. If a man will not think and ponder over the words he has uttered, then there is no cure for him. This being the first medicine, the rest of the treatment will be smooth. Second, keep away the object of anger. The Maulana said, next, move away immediately from one on whom you are angry, or according to the situation, get him to move away from you. It is a characteristic of anger that it drives the angry closer to the object of anger. And as he draws near, his anger becomes more fierce. This is why the Maulana gave the foregoing instruction that move away from the person you are angry, or get him to move away from you. This treatment is known. This is a treatment known from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This treatment is known to have been employed by the best of creation, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go back. Wahshi radiallahu anhu had killed the Prophet's uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, in the Battle of Uhud. Later, Allah guided Wahshi, and Sayyiduna Wahshi radiallahu anhu embraced Islam later on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "Do not come before my eyes," he told Wahshi. "Do not come before my eyes, because that reminds me of Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu anhu, and that might anger me." Because you know how Hamza was killed by Wahshi in the Battle of Uhud with that spear through in the pelvic area between the navel to the private part. And that soft spot through his spear, and it came out through the back. And then Hamza's body was mutilated. He was cut open, and his organs were taken out, and his ears were cut into shreds and mutilated. And he would remember that. So he would tell Wahshi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say to him, "You know what? Do not come before my eyes. Because that reminds me, when I see you, that reminds me of my uncle, Sayyidina Hamza, the prince of all martyrs. And that might anger me. And I don't want to get angry with you." So that's a remedy from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Move away or let the person move away. Do not punish, because if the Rasul get angry with somebody, then how you think Allah is going to feel? What angers the Rasul will anger Allah. What pleases the Rasul will please Allah. So to avoid that. Do not punish. And this is so important for parents and for teachers. Do not punish when angry. If you are justly angry at someone, your junior, he be a student, be he a student or a son, then do not scold him. Don't scold him or punish him when you are in a rage. Don't do that. You will not keep yourself within the limits at such a time. You'll go mad. When you have cooled down, summon him and tell him where he went wrong and scold him if that is necessary. That's not good, Thunder? In this way, you will not exceed limits. And very often, parents fall into that mistake. Third, so one is to think of your shortcomings. Secondly, keep away the object of anger. All right? Not punish when you're angry. And the third, remind oneself of divine punishment. The Maulana said, third, remember of divine punishment. This is also known from hadith. Once Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was scolding his slave, when he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lallahu aqdaru alayka minka alay." So Abu Bakr once was scolding his slave. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that, and he said to Abu Bakr, "Lallahu, indeed Allah, aqdaru alayka, Allah has more ability over you and more kudrat over you. Lallahu aqdaru alayka minka alayhi, than your ability over the slave." You are punishing the slave. If Allah will punish you, then what will become of you? And he has more kudrat over you than your kudrat over the slave. If one remembers Allah's punishment, then there is some softening of one's anger and the rage is pacified. The Maulana goes on to say, remember your sins and make much istighfar and think of Allah's punishment. He has more kudrat over you. As the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Abu Bakr, "Lallahu aqdaru alayka minka alayhi." This is part of the first treatment mentioned above about remembering one's defect and seeking forgiveness. Thus, the Maulana has prescribed three treatments for anger, about thinking of one's shortcomings, keeping the object of anger away or you going away, and thinking of Allah's punishment, that Allah has more power over you than your power over anyone. Thus, the Maulana has prescribed three treatments for anger. If anyone allies them when he is angry, then inshallah, that will not be harmful. May Allah enable all of us to abide by this. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Continue next week, inshallah. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?